here, and looking forward to an exciting day and a good day, and hope you're praying hard. I feel like a little bit in church, we're just kind of expecting things to happen, because when we start getting blessed and good things start happening, everybody just thinks, oh yeah, it's just going to happen. And two things happen. One, people quit praying, and then without God, nothing's not going to work, and nothing's going to be right or blessed. And two, people quit helping and realizing the urgency of it and participating. And these are vital days and important days, and really God's blessing. Satan's going to attack us. Let's keep on praying for God to do something big. Proverbs chapter 16. And I don't know anybody who's doing that. I just get kind of that feeling we're just a little relaxed, where we should be fasting and praying and begging God to do something. And we really need the Lord to work. And so I want to keep up our spiritual urgency, as we're in a spiritual war all the time, and to be sober, be vigilant. Proverbs 16. And I'm going to start at verse 17. Tonight we're going to talk about the wisdom of humility. We're continuing on in wisdom, the wisdom of humility. Verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of an humble spirit with a lowly, than to divide the spoil with the proud. The wisdom of humility. Let's pray together. Lord, we need your help now. And we pray, Lord, you'd have it, Father. We need you. And Father, we don't know that there's a lost person in this service who might be dying this week and they need to be saved. We don't know that one of us is going to face our wilderness temptation of our entire lives. And we need great speaking to right now. We just pray you'd work, Father. We look to you. We ask that you'd do the great works that need to be done, and we would be helped today. And Lord, please speak to us and give us wisdom and help us to see this as you see it and become strengthened in this area of humility. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Humility is hard to have. It's hard to have in a culture that kind of exalts self. And because we're kind of in a funny situation where when we fail, we kind of kick ourselves or we blame somebody else, one of the two. But when we succeed, we get puffed up real good. And so it's almost hard for God to bless us, because whenever he blesses us, we forget it was him. It's just kind of the fallen nature of mankind. People in the Bible who are real careful, dude, well at it, like Paul. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And though he was the greatest of all church planters, he also knew that, and the greatest apostle, he also knew that he was nothing. And it's very hard for us to keep that balance there. But there is wisdom in humility. It says, just a few thoughts here. There are warnings about pride here. verse 18, pride goeth before destruction. Word pride, it's two different things, pride and then a haughty spirit. And so one is a spirit you have about you, and one is just a sin, a factor, pride. Pride goes before destruction. The word pride means an ornament of majesty or an ornament of arrogance. It's an ornament that's worn. It's something, I am proud, I am this, and it's a proud thing. And it's outwardly wearing, I'm something, I can't fall, I'm great. And then a haughty spirit, the word haughty spirit means elation, grandeur, arrogance, or highness. So one's about an ornament you have, and one is about an elevation of a highness of you, and you're above others, and you're above falling, and you're above doing bad things. And you wear that spirit about you, that you are haughty. And so pride goes before destruction, before you're destroyed. Haughty spirit goes before you fall. And obviously, these are strong warnings from God. And then it says, it's better to be with humble people than to be rich with proud people. It says, verse 19, better is it to be of an humble spirit with a lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. In other words, if you could be around a crowd of people and you lived in a small apartment and you and your friends were living in this apartment and you were just a godly bunch and you had this little tiny humble thing and you just had enough food to eat, but you're with humble people, that would be better than if you went and could share millions in an area of mansions altogether with proud people. See, it isn't always about the bigness and the crowd and everything else. I'd rather be in a humble church than a proud church that's big and seemingly earthly successful. And it's better. It's better to be humble with humble people and have little and be humble. Why humility? Just like 6 points of why humility or around on humility. Number one, the proud end up falling. Pretty simple here, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 23, and verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God says those that are proud, God humbles. And those that exalt themselves, God brings down. And those who are humble, God lifts up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. He that humbled himself shall be exalted. He that exalt himself shall be abased. You fall for a couple of reasons. One, you're not careful, but also two, because God makes you fall. And God trips you up. He that exalt himself shall be abased, and God will humble you if you don't humble yourself. You end up falling when you're proud. You end up going down, and you end up falling. And many of the person who thought they had everything established, I want to say this, even when you planned well, and even when you've done everything you can possibly do, I want you to understand you still need to live with humility, because everything planned well can still fall to pieces. You come with humility, and I think it's good to plan well. I think planning well is actually a sign of humility sometimes. I think it's knowing the frailness of the world and the frailness of your ability. And I think that planning well is wise, and it's just doing your best. But I want to say, even though you plan well, you still come. I want to say this. You can do a good plan to raise your kids, but you come before God humbly, knowing that you're raising fallen creatures and you're going to be an imperfect parent. And come humbly and say, Lord, I need your help. My kids aren't going to turn out right unless you help. There's a humility about you that keeps you from falling. It makes you careful. Somebody who works on the top of a building who isn't afraid of what can happen with that building and falling off of it usually falls. An electrician who is not afraid of getting shocked usually gets shocked to death. Because those with humility and appreciation for what they're dealing with and do not think they're impervious usually are more careful, and it keeps you from falling by nature. But also, God takes those who get proud, like he did with Nebuchadnezzar and Herod and many others, and he makes them humble and says, I'm God, you're man. And so humility keeps you from falling. Number two, you come across better when you're humble. Let's look at Proverbs 25. And one of the fastest things that make people not like you is when you're proud and when you come across as arrogant. Proverbs 25 and verse 6. It says, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better is it to be said of thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince with whom thine eyes have seen. In other words, it says, when you go here, don't say, hey, I know, I got friends. I'm gonna put myself way up here. And then somebody comes up and says, hey, your seat's down there. Now you're humiliated. But if you take a low seat down here, somebody's going to say, oh, you know what? No, you come on up. You're up here. And you come across a lot better and look a lot better and aren't humiliated. Nothing's worse when you're wrong and get humiliated publicly and you come across wrong and people like you better. And now there are certain weak people who like an arrogant person, but a lot of people don't like someone when they're arrogant. And when you're proud, you get humiliated. If you start at the bottom, you have nowhere down to go. You have only up. You realize you're not so great. You realize you're nothing without Christ. Enter into relationships with humility. Enter into friendships with humility. Enter into it appreciating who you have in your life. Enter into parenting with humility. Come into relationships. You'll get people's hearts. I read a story of a girl came to the pastor, and she came up and said, Pastor, I have this issue. I come to church, and every time I come to church, I look around, and I think, I'm the most beautiful woman in this entire church. I'm just way more beautiful than the rest of the girls in this church. And Pastor, every time I come to church, I just keep thinking that. And I keep looking around, and I think, I shouldn't think this. Then I look around again, and I look at the ladies of this church, and I say, I'm the most beautiful woman in this church. And somehow, you know, Pastor, I'm just not sure I should be doing that. And the pastor says, well, young lady, the truth is I wouldn't say what you're thinking is a sin. I would just say it's a lack of good judgment. And she gets all uppity and says, "What do you mean?" And of course, the humility thing. And she got humbled. And yet, she wanted to still think she's the most beautiful, but just think, "I probably shouldn't do this. I am the most beautiful, right? But I shouldn't know that, right?" But when we get humbled, when we get put in our place, when we exalt ourselves and somebody comes by and says, "That's, you're not what you think you are," when you get caught in a lie, when you think you have it together, when you start strutting along, you think everybody's looking at you, and then you trip. It gets pretty embarrassing. Pride usually brings humility, and people don't like you. I remember when I was with my friends, we weren't Christians yet, and I was in the truck, and we had my friend had a pretty nice looking truck, but it was not really as cool as it looked, but his good body work and good paint job, and it was an old truck, and and we were at high school, and we were trying to be cool, and my friend's truck was not fast, but he wanted to be fast in this truck. But it's a good-looking truck. And we're riding the truck, and Roman is the passenger side, and I was in the middle. And my friend's name was Scott. And we come around the corner, and here's just all the girls sitting outside. And so we thought he'd show off and burn off in his car. And so burns off and starts taking, and just smoke going, tires burning. We take over in the corner and start going up the street real fast. And all of a sudden, his muffler just flies off. Phew! And all of a sudden, and I duck down. And all the girls are laughing at us. And Scott says, "Go back and get my muffler." And Roman said, I'm not getting out of the truck. I'm not getting out of here. They're all laughing at us. And all I remember Scott pulling over. He runs back there, and we're all, you know, not as cool yet. He runs over, and all these girls are already laughing at him. And he goes and grabs the muffler and picks it up. Ah! Burns his hand, starts screaming. We slide lower in the seat. Well, you just think you're so cool. And all of a sudden, you get humiliated, you get embarrassed, and all of a sudden, you're getting laughed at. And it all happens really quick, and those things happen in life. You come across better when you're humble. People look at humble people and say, "You know what, I'd like to be your friend, and I like you, and you're kind." Number three, blessings are on the humble. Blessings are on the humble. Look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, blessings are on the humble. And I can tell you many stories where I thought I was cool, and you thought you're cool, and all of a sudden, boom, your coolness disappeared really quick, and it fell down. Proverbs, blessings, God blesses the humble. Proverbs 29 and verse 23, it says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." God blesses you when you're humble. First of all, it brings honor. Several verses here about honor. Proverbs 15 and verse 33. Honor comes to the humble people. It says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 12. And it says that before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. And maybe if you don't know what humility is, it's a hard word to define, but it's seeing yourself as you truly are. It's being pushed down. It's an appreciation of who I am and who God made me, and that I am what I am by the grace of God, and I don't know everything, and I'm just so glad I'm saved. And I'm privileged to have a job, an opportunity. It's just a down-to-earth looking at life and appreciation of what God has done. That's humility, and that's what it does. And it kind of just, instead of being arrogant, it's kind of the opposite of pride. Number two, first of all, it brings honor. Secondly, it brings wisdom. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." With the lowly is wisdom. It brings wisdom. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." By humility and fear of the Lord. I want to say with the ministry, I know somebody's never going to amount to anything in the ministry without humility. And one of the things that anytime we want to train somebody in the ministry, anytime we're going to work with somebody in the ministry, we will start them off with humble jobs. Good training for the ministry is mopping the floor. Good training for the ministry. But boy, some of the best things that ever happened to me, and I'm so grateful, is I started off my ministry in humble preaching. Sierra Vista Nursing Home. And it was a end-of-the-road, last-stop nursing home. And boy, with all the things that I've, all the situations I preach in and all the empty services and all the times where I've had people acting up and people walking around and people who are doing bad things and disturbing things, I'm so glad that, you know what? If most of the people are listening, I'm pretty good. As long as somebody's not standing up and singing Amazing Grace in the middle of my sermon because they don't know what time of the service it is. Or an elderly man decides that he needs to go to the bathroom right there and doesn't realize he's not in the bathroom. Or all the other humbling experiences I learned in the nursing home. And I learned in children's churches. Oh, children's churches. When we were expanding our ministries and just massive numbers of kids and no workers. And you're just lucky if half the kids are paying attention to you. Oh, you learn, oh, you start off and realize the privilege of just being any part of God's work. And you start off with humility, and then you appreciate everything after that. It brings honor, and it brings wisdom in your life. And you start at the very bottom in life and realize that any opportunity to serve God is good. It brings answers prayer. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 through 23, and then also Daniel chapter 10, God says, I have seen your tears and your humility and your confessing your sins and humbling yourselves. And you find people in the Bible that when they humble themselves, God hears their prayers. And we won't turn there because of time, but Daniel did that, Daniel 9, 20 through 23. And God noted his humility in his prayer. And next, the Lord exalts you. You get blessings when you have humility. God blesses you. And the Bible says in James chapter 4, that God's going to exalt you and bless you when you humble yourself. Now, when God humbles you, you're not going to get exalted. So the process is you humble yourself and you're a humble person and God lifts you up and exalts you and pushes you, gives you honor. Or you exalt yourself and God pushes you down, but it doesn't say when you get down, when he humbles you, he lifts you back up. He just says he brings you down. So you may never get up except for as high as you get yourself, but you're going to come down and maybe never get back up into honor and good places. So it's better off to humble yourself because God blesses those who humble themselves. And James chapter 4 and verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Why? Because God hates pride, so he blesses the humble. Back to Proverbs chapter 8. God hates pride. He says that. He hates it. And so he brings those down who are proud. He loves humility, so those who are humble, because he knows how hard it is for us to humble ourselves. So when we humble ourselves, he lifts us up. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. He says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy. So you hate it if you fear God. And Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. And he goes forward, a proud look. These things are abomination to God, a proud look. And so God hates, he used the word hate when he comes to the word pride. The Lord hates pride. And so he blesses those who humble themselves because it's a natural state of man to be proud. Can I tell you something that I think I've come to now and very common when I watch in people and what we've come to now? It's very important that we see this because one of the things I found in people now is people are not secure and strong enough, I think is the term, to be a failure and nothing in a certain area. And so here's this area of failure and weakness or sin in their life. And instead of that making them humble, what they do now, I see, and maybe they've always done it, I just have noticed it more the last maybe 5 years, is what they do is instead of saying, boy, I really need to work on these things, and boy, I'm humble about this, they go like this and say, but you know, I really am good at helping people, and I'm really good at doing this, and I'm really good at doing this. And they kind of deny half of themselves. And they don't really deal with being humble. They have to think highly of themselves. They're not strong enough to say, I am failing in this area. So they just pick out their strengths. And I want to say this, everybody has strengths. Charles Manson was a good leader of his followers. They followed him. Okay? You can always find a strength in yourself if you want. I mean, but when you really want to humble yourself, you remember who you are, and instead of focusing on your strengths, it's you fix your weaknesses And you remember your strengths are there by the grace of God. And you say, what about my confidence? What about my self-esteem? We'll get to that at the end. But I want you to understand, when you try to exalt yourself and when you have pride in your life, God's not going to bless that. Be humble about it. And by the way, you have a merciful God. If you'll just deal with it and talk to him about it, he's going to forgive you. But you got to acknowledge and come to him humbly because the Lord hates pride. Next, and this is the biggest point of the message, really, I think the most practical, is when you're humble, it removes restrictions that pride brings. Proverbs chapter 6. Humility removes the restrictions that pride brings. Proverbs 6, verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come to the hand of thy friend, go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Notice it says in verse 3, it says, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. I want to really understand this verse here. It says if you make a promise, if you make a vow, if you say you're going to pay something, you go do it. That's what it says. But that's humiliating sometimes. Have you ever said you're going to do something or been committed to something, and afterward you said, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. They got me. I shouldn't have committed to that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have signed that. And boy, you committed to rent this thing, and then you found out, boy, I got ripped off. They overpriced me for that thing. And you know how angry you get? You know how mad you get? Now, the Bible says if you have stricken your hand and made a commitment to something, it says humble yourself. You know what that means? Okay, you got me. I'm going to pay you back. And it says go and work an extra job if you have to, but pay it back as quickly as you can. Get out of debt and pay this thing off and humble yourself. But they win and they get the money. That means you humble yourself. That means you got to say, I signed it. You know what? I'm going to eat it. But they're going to know they win and they beat me and they won and I look stupid. Humble yourself. See, when you have pride, you're not able to fix things because you can't admit you're wrong. If in a marriage relationship, if someone does not know there's a problem, there's nothing to fix for them because they don't know there's a problem. Humility opens up the doors and says, you know what? Maybe I am wrong. Maybe I'm not seeing everything. There are so many things that it undoes. And when you're humble, you can suddenly fix things. You can suddenly get things. You can pay things back. You can do your part when you're wrong. You ever been wrong and somebody says, you got to do it this way? And you say, no, you can't do it that way. And you just fight it and argue it and you're so sure about it. And then you're just stunned. You're dead wrong. And then you can continue to stick with your foolishness or you can be humble enough to say, I'm wrong. I'll do it this way now. But if you're proud, you can't even fix what you're wrong about because you will not swallow your pride. And all of us have an issue with that. And I know I have an issue with that. And I just get, I don't want to admit I'm wrong. I don't want to, especially when they're wrong on everything else. They just happen to be right on that one thing. And then you got to admit it. And then you got it. But it brings you where you can go do that. And you can do that. How about when you're humble, you can now apologize. You ever try to get an apology out of a proud person? And I am not a good apologizer. I hate to say it's an area of pride for me. I've had to work on that. I took my whole family the other day and said, okay, I want to apologize to all of you guys for something. And it is hard for me to do. I just not, I don't know, it's just pride. And so when you have that, and you cannot, and you know what a proud apology is? Here's a proud apology. It is, okay, I'm sorry, but you shouldn't have done that either. You know why? So you can still be proud and win. See, when you get rid of your pride, they can be wrong on 10 things, but you can apologize for your one thing. Even though they don't apologize for their 9. Because you've removed the pride. I remember when God just kept humbling me and humbling me and humbling me and humbling me. When I was really growing in the Lord as a new Christian. And it seemed like everything that was my area of pride and strength, he seemed to squish it. And I had to be humiliated in that area and humiliated that. And I was telling you, by the time God was done with me at that time, and of course in the flesh, we always had a problem back up. But you know what? You would say the phrase, you have no pride. And I would say that. You just got the point where you just said, I don't care how stupid I look anymore. You just lose, God just takes the pride out of you. And by the way, you know why some most Christians don't witness? It's a thing called pride. They're afraid to look bad witnessing to somebody. They're afraid they won't say it right. They're afraid somebody's not going to like them. They're afraid of being on the street witnessing or going to a door. They're afraid to walk around at the New Testament. It's their pride. That's why they won't do it. And you got to swallow your pride because it frees you up to do whatever God wants you to do. It's hard to, when somebody's doing that, to fix your failures. It removes the restriction. When you humble yourself, you can go pay the debt back now. When you remove your problems of pride, and somebody says, you know what, you're doing this wrong, and instead of going, and you know what a proud person does? Who are they to tell me what to do? I'm better than them. See, when you remove pride, anybody can teach you something. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Learn from an ant. And so when you remove your pride, anybody can teach you because they don't have to be stronger, bigger, or better than you. You can learn from a little child, the Bible says. Jesus told us to learn from them. Pride removes all the things that stop you from going forward for God. And you say, I can now do this thing. And because I've removed my pride, it makes you free. It removes the restriction that pride brings when you are humble. And humility removes restrictions. Next, because removing, what else does humility do? Why? Because it's acknowledging reality. Why be humble? Because it acknowledges reality. Can I tell you, proud people just aren't living in reality? What dost thou have that thou wast not given? First, a couple of verses I'll read to you. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? What dost thou have thou didst not receive? Everything you have you got from God. James chapter 1 says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You say, but I got it from hard work. How did you get the ability to work hard? Well, I stayed in shape. How did you stay in shape? By working out. And by eating right. Where did you get the food from? I worked hard and bought it. Why'd you have a job? Because I worked hard and there's lots of jobs out there. Why do you have a mind that works, can think to get a job? Did you choose to be smart? Did you choose to have a good brain? Or were you born with it? And by the way, you can be a hard worker in Haiti and not have a job. You're born in America. Or you lived in America. And by the way, your brain is, the circuits are still working. Did you choose to make those little neurons connect? Did you choose for your heart to be beating? Did you choose to have oxygen in this system of this world and had your for your heart to beat? Did you choose to be ambitious? Yes, you might have taken the gifts God gave you and used them, but you might have been brought up in a really bad home where they taught you to be lazy and be a drug addict. And you say, well, I became a Christian, I got out of that, and I was that. Well, you know what? That's because God drew you, and the Holy Spirit spoke to you, and somebody came to you and gave you the Bible and spoke to your heart, and God gave you a Bible, and God gave you the strength to overcome. Everything you have is a gift from God. The air you breathe, everything, anything good that happens, every good and perfect gift coming from above, your heart's beaten not by your own will. Your heart's beaten because of a merciful God. If we got what we deserved, our heart wouldn't beat anymore. What do you have that wasn't given? You have sight. You can see to work. You can, all these things. I understand we have a part, but it's only because we use the good things that God gave us. It's acknowledging reality. Sometimes we forget that, and we think it's all because of us, not realizing the good things that we can do are only a gift that was given to us. When you walk up and pet a cat, the cat looks up at you and says, I deserve that, and it's about time you did that because I am worthy of your petting. You walk up and pet a dog, and the dog wags his tail and says, you're so wonderful. Thank you for doing that. I'm happy. And some humans, God walks down and he pets them, and they're like the dog that says, you're so wonderful. Thank you for doing that. And God blesses them. And other ones say, I'm so wonderful. Aren't you lucky to have me, God? And that's kind of our nature sometimes. We become arrogant and think everything we have is because of God. And boy, they fall flat and hard when they do that. You are not God's gift to himself. You are not so incredible that God just lucky to have you. There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners, and it's just God's goodness. It's just reality. The apostles, after they served God and got beaten and threatened, it says, and they left the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That's humility. They were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Christ. They were humble about it. They said, it's an honor that we can be shamed. That's humility. Nebuchadnezzar, he ruled the world and became this great military leader and had all these great plans. And he could say, and he said, look at my nation that I built, my kingdom that I built. And he did build a great kingdom, earthly speaking, with his plans and his military. And he conquered the whole world. And God said, the Most High ruled in the kingdom of men. Nebuchadnezzar, you have an aggressive type A personality because I gave it to you. You were born in Babylon, and Babylon was going to come up because I ordained it to be a strong nation right now. And you would not be in the right family. You could have born in some jungle in Africa. You could not be intelligent. You could be blind. Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to make you an animal to crawl around in the fields for 7 years so you know the Most High ruleth the kingdom of men and giveth it whomsoever he will. It's the reality. Humility is just acknowledging reality that a good God has been merciful not to destroy me. It's in the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, and God's been patient with me, and I am just glad that God wants to use me. It's a wonderful thing. And last of all, I want you to get this. This is an important last point of the message because it's on humility. Humility is not insecurity. Very important point. Humility is not insecurity. You know, there's, I'm so worthless, I can't do anything, I'm just not good, nobody loves me, God doesn't love. That's not at all the Bible spirit. God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let me read you out of Philippians. Philippians talks a lot about the mind. And the spirit of the Bible in humility is not a helplessness, it is a confident spirit. And we'll end up back in Proverbs, but Philippians chapter 4, listen to Paul talk. This is confidence. See, a Christian who's humble is also confident. It is not humility to think that you can't do what God has for you to do in life. That's not biblical. And God gets on your case, too, when you do that. Hey, listen, this is a confident person. It says, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full but to suffer and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. This is Philippians 4. And also verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's confidence. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. For we are of the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And he says, you know what? I don't have any confidence in the flesh, but I can do all things through Christ. In other words, humility is saying, I know I can't do anything without God, but with God, I can do all things. So it is not, I can't do it. It is a matter of, you know what? I'm nothing, but boy, I've got a big God, and I can do whatever needs done. It is a confidence. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26. We'll finish up there. So, humility is not saying, oh, woe is me, I'm so worthless, I can't do anything right. That is not. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. It is a spirit of, Lord, thank you for another day. I don't deserve it. Lord, you can do anything. I can't do anything without you, but Lord, with you, I can do all things. Whom God calls, God equips. Lord, I know I'm not much, and I mess so many things up, but Lord, I thank you. I've got you today, and I believe you answer my prayers, and I believe we can have a good day today, Lord. Show me what to do, and help me to do what you want me to do, and help me to be like Joseph, to go out and do great things for you, and you just promote me as you need me to be used, Lord, because I just am putting my trust in you today, and I trust you, Lord, at this day. And you go out there with confidence going out into this world with God, because I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But it's humility, not confidence in the flesh. I'm so brilliant and smart and good looking. No, that's not humility. Philippians, but God has given me the ability, I can do this through Christ, is biblical. Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 26, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. When thou liest down," verse 24, "be not afraid," verse 25, God will be with you, and you're going to be just fine. So I want to say, humility is not a lack of confidence. It's not a dog saying, I'm worthless, and I just can't do anything right, and don't do anything for God. God wants us to do great things. God wants us to do exploits. God wants us to do mighty things for Him. God wants us to change the world, yet not in the confidence of us and our ability to ourselves. Be humble, because God blesses the humble, and He can use you. Let's be humble. Let's realize we have a big God. Let's trust God. Let's believe that God blesses the humble. Let's believe that God is able to do what needs done. And let's be humble people and realize without Him we're going to fall flat on our face. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you that you teach us about humility. It's a hard thing, Lord. It's a hard thing for me. It's a hard thing for us. Lord, every once in a while you remind us who we are, but then we forget. And we get confident in ourselves, or we get insecure and don't believe you can do things, or all these different things that we mess up in our confidence, Father, and in our humility and pride. Lord, help us to realize that you bless humble people. Help us to humble ourselves. And remember that without you, we can do nothing. Lord, bless the message. Help us to realize the blessing of humility, Lord, and please, in a supernatural way, give us humility for you. Lord, it's hard for us to remember this. Whenever we do good, whenever we're the best, Lord, that's good, and you work that out, and Joseph was the best, and Daniel was the best, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the best, and they prospered, and Paul was the best. And yet, Lord, they also remembered, I am what I am by the grace of God. Help us to be doing well and yet grounded in who we really are, and what, and everything is a gift from you. Lord, help us to do all these things by you, in Jesus' name. Heads about eyes.